Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had a couple of assignments over the weekend. So the first one on Friday, do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance. Then on Saturday, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on kindness, all the kindness you receive and all the kindness you offer. And then do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have. And here's our first
kindness
caller.
Kindness and gratitude, those are old friends we never tire of, huh?
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Hello.
Are you currently
back in
Berkeley?
Yes, I am back in Berkeley as of yesterday.
Oh, well, welcome home.
Thank you, thank you. What I've been looking at, which we talked about earlier in the month, is looking at basically the dualities that I've been looking at, sort of the push-pull of being in relationship with someone, and then the, like, you should push this away, you don't want this, you know, versus, and then the other side is like, you got to cling to this, and and just the bouncing between that. And I feel like I got a real look at that yesterday because I've been traveling and so it that sort of those stories I think had sort of taken a back burner, and then I came back and saw the person I've been dating. And like I was just noticing this morning, like the whole, I was just like, just all about how he wasn't good enough, and it's not special, it's not whatever, it's not, you know, and I just kept imagining like the page in my journal where we had to do the duality, you know, and I just kept imagining like, oh, now I'm on this side, oh. There I am on this. Oh, no, I'm on this side.
Like one of those paddle balls, right? It smacks you out there, and then boom, you smack back out there and back out there and back. Yeah, yeah,
And it feels like the.
Go ahead. Feels like
the one is sort of contained in the other. Like it's sort of like it's very much a like. You, like, you should leave him, but you can't. You should stay, but you can't. You should, but you can't. You know,
right.
Like,
well, oh, that is so big, Laura. That is so big. Because as long as we only hear the first part of it, then we're in that, that ping pong ball place. But when we realize the whole karma, so the in some book we talk about that as lose weight. Right? I want to lose weight. That, you know, people just stay in that obsession for a lifetime, right? I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. And what they don't hear is that the real message is, but I can't. And the real message is, but you can't. And when we get that, then we realize the fiendish nature of it, that somebody, you know, it's kind of a, if you've watched the horror of a cat toying with another creature, you know, that's what ego is doing to the human being, in this case her, just toying with her, just, you can't, go ahead, try, but you can't, but you can't, right?
Yeah.
And that's not even we're not even considering him, right? Another human being who is being treated by the conditioning in us the way it treats us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so and there's been something else that I have sort of been suspecting, which is that because throughout dating this person, there's been sort of a message of something's missing. It's not, there's not the same intensity. There's not the same, you know, or whatever, of dating other people. And one thing that I've kind of suspected is that what's missing might be the karma, you know.
The ego melodrama.
Yeah.
Yeah. His problem might be that he's just a good, nice human being, right?
Yeah.
That might be his problem. He's just a good person. Yeah.
Yeah, so until yesterday I was practicing. It was helpful to have the focus of, you know, commissioning was going back, but, you know, just the gratitude of like, oh, I have someone who wants to see me, and I get, you know, trying to come back.
Well, and I was just reading something recently where the author was talking about relationship and romantic relationship and what happens in that, and basically describing that if you met someone and, oh my God, the sparks are just, it's just, you know, it's almost too intense, right? If you stay together, that's going to go away.
Because
it just does. That's just how it is. And that's why if you read about people who kept a romance all of their lives, I mean, it's a, you know, you can read about them because it's a handful of people, right? And we don't even know what was going on with them, but they seem to stay in that level of intensity throughout their lifetime. But most people, for most people, it passes in the same way you get a new car and or a new house or a new anything, and it's so thrilling, and then it becomes normal, right? And so what you want to do is make sure if it's a relationship, you got a nice person. You got a good person, right? You got somebody that you can admire and respect and be interested in for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on what we want, right? But it's good not to let ego confuse us about it. If you want sparks, go for sparks. If you want relationship, then go for that.
Yeah, because I think that is sort of the assumption that the relationship is going has to, you know, you watch all the movies and the whatever, the relationship that has to be the sparks and the love at first sight and love, all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so as practitioners, we question that. Okay, well, how much of that is just ego horse pucky? Designed to keep people in suffering, because that's the result.
Yeah, and I see that, because then that feeds the loop of like, well, but this isn't special enough. This, you know, and then there goes the loop. There goes the duality. You know?
Yes, precisely. So you've seen it now, right? So whether you keep him or not, or he keeps you or not, which, you know, is sometimes an assumption we make that might not be the case, you don't have to keep the duality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the part of the relationship you can let go.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. That is such an important point, right, Sherry, which is why we practice unconditional love, kindness, and gratitude as processes so that we are able to receive what we have and not be confused by what we're told we should have.
Mm-hmm. Or even told
been around,
we want.
Yes, because if we've been around for a while and been paying attention, we realize what patterns of experience, what are patterns of experience, right? There's always excitement at the beginning, and then the excitement morphs into something else, which is daily, right? I mean, we know those are the patterns, and yet we refuse to be present to those and acknowledge that we've learned those. It doesn't mean what ego says, which is you'll never have excitement or there'll never be sparks again in your life or whatever it is, and therefore you have to move on to the next relationship and ditch this one. It's just, it's like sickness, aging, sickness, and death. These are sort of how it works. And so, so if we can be kind and if we can be present and we can be loving and respectful, that's really the experience of life that allows us to be, to feel alive and in the space that we really want.
Yeah. And unconditional love can be pretty darn sparky.
Yes. And we keep talking about it in so many ways that it's a relationship with life, with ourselves, and therefore with another person. And that as soon as we move into relationship with ego in any form, it ceases to be sparky. Dramatic and karmic, yes, but not sparky.
Yes, exactly. And learning to differentiate between those two. Right?
Yeah. All right, here's
like
our next caller.
It's like a poem from a mystic versus a soap opera.
Exactly. What a lovely way of saying it. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Sharon calling in Barbados.
Hello, Sharon.
How are you?
Excellent, thank you. And yourself?
Good. I chose to call in today as my way of celebrating. and I'm not really necessarily celebrating an accomplishment, although I would say that it's kind of an accomplishment for me to call in to talk about my sexuality. I've listened to others over these past weeks, and many people really shared, you know, some very personal things, and I didn't feel that motivated to. I didn't know what to share, but today I came in touch with some self-hate that has been following me around for a long time, and I began to think that you know, I'm not attractive to my husband, and I don't know why I would think that. I mean, he's with me. He loves me. He says nice things about me sometimes, not often, but he does. And I just suddenly hit me, you know what? He doesn't think I'm not attractive. And
he's
when
not
I
saying any of these things. The only place you're hearing them is inside your head, right?
That's right. When I was a little girl, I used to follow my mother around and ask her, am I cute? Am I pretty or anything? And she would never say so. She would say, handsome is as handsome does. And, of course, that's not what I wanted to hear. And so I think I had thought that she didn't think I was, which is why she said that.
and who knows what was going on with her. Right?
Well, you know,
we don't know.
I didn't get that kind of nurturing. Really,
right. She could have thought that you were the cutest thing that ever happened, but her conditioning said, but if you let her know that, she's going to become self-centered and her life is going to go down a bad track. So if she doesn't think that much of herself and all she's focused on is how she acts, she's going to have a lot better chance. We have no idea, but that makes as much sense as anything.
I guess it does make just as much sense as anything. I mean, to me, she was beautiful. I love my mother, and I thought she was just gorgeous.
That might not have served her well.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. But then also, as a child, I had some inappropriate sexual experiences. And I think as I grew up and I had sexual encounters, I think that I was quite repressed in terms of feeling my own sexuality. And now I'm finding in my mature years that, you know, with my partner who is treats me really well sexually. He's very caring and you know, shows that he really enjoys that with me. That has helped me a lot. And because I was like getting a book on how to have an orgasm and that kind of thing. And you know, I talked to him about it and we discussed what was important. And you know, I feel like it's a pity that I had to have those inappropriate encounters as a child. They were not terrible, but they were, I think, bad enough for me to want to repress those feelings. And so then it was a number of years before I was really able to enjoy sex.
Good job on your part picking somebody, right, who is loving and kind and so, I mean, that makes for a great sexual life together. But it also positions you to hear those voices in your head for what they are. Because they're just flat out lying, right? They have no, this is an old playbook for ego. Well, you're not attractive. You know, he doesn't find you attractive. And it's so obviously not true that you can't miss the fact that that's a lie. You have no evidence. In fact, the evidence is exactly to the contrary.
Well, I mean, I had a good friend who said, well, you're not a knockout, but you're not ugly, you know, kind of a thing. You know, so there's always this kind of confusion, and that even when I'm alone, I may just feel like, you know, or see pictures of myself that I wish I looked better than that, you know.
Well, okay, so Sharon, all you're telling me is, even though self-hate says these things about your husband, and you know they're not true, because you get no evidence from him. The only place you're hearing it is in your head.
Right.
What you're telling me is when you hear it in your head directly, you will believe it. But it's as much of a lie inside your head, whether it's talking about what he thinks of you or about what it thinks of you directly. It's as much of a lie.
Well, I think it all started with me wanting to get my mother to tell me that. You know,
yes,
and because
yes,
I couldn't
well,
get her to, I kind of always felt like I had to get it on the outside.
That's right. Well, yeah, but what you're really seeing, I hope, is that what you're getting on the inside is lies. And so you're the only one who can turn that around. She's waiting for somebody to tell her that what she hears inside her head is lies, that it's not true, that she is an attractive person. Okay? But you're her last best hope, because you're married to this guy, and he's giving you signals that he finds you attractive, but the voice in your head is still telling you you're not. That's the one to get rid of.
Thank you so much. You know, when you say that, it makes me teary-eyed, you know.
Well,
so
I mean, the poor thing, you know.
I know.
There's nobody to give her. I mean, it's back to that same little kid, right? Am I cute? Yeah. Honey, you're cute. You're adorable. Look at you. Look at those bright eyes. Look at that smile. You are adorable.
Well, thank you so much. I've got this recording now to play over and over, and I can make some recordings like that. So.
Yes, you can. And you can start looking at her with the eyes of love, not through the eyes of self-hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's waited a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I really... You know, this was my way to celebrate, and it was great. So
good.
Thank you.
Good instinct. Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, thank
Take
you.
Take care of you and her.
Okay,
and
will
him.
Do.
All
Thanks,
right.
Ashwini. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Sharon.
Oh, Sherry, if we could only live in kindness and unconditional love, and you know, allow ourselves to hear that. Yeah.
I was reading something recently that was just making the point very kind of, well, not forcefully, but clearly, that there are no two human beings who are alike. I mean, we share a lot of qualities and a lot of characteristics, and sometimes we say things like, you know, we're all exactly alike. And in broad strokes, we are. Everybody's got self-hatred. Everybody's got, you know, negative voices, all of that sort of thing. But each person is uniquely themselves. And the only person who can be that in this world. And we've been taught not to see that, not to appreciate and treasure that, because it's me. And that's what we've just got to let go of that. We've got to stop that.
Yes. We've got to stop the self-hate that wants to negate that and compare us to some some standard which is the negation in itself, because how you are is not sufficient. And therefore,
That's right.
How you need to be is this.
That's right. And that's not possible.
And that's just exactly. I mean, the process
right? It's just
is the
not
same
possible.
The process is the same as the previous caller, that we are constantly referred to something that is impossible to do, achieve, whatever. So we can't be present to how it is. If we were present to how it is, there would be no comparison.
Right. Right. We wouldn't be standing in front of that flower thinking about our favorite flower, which is not that flower. That's the kind of training we've had, always to be looking to conditioned mind for its comparison. And as you say, then all that's happening is we're missing where we are. That's that is the sum total, because nothing's going to change. We are where we are, and this is what we've got, and this is, and that's it. And so looking at somebody else, somewhere else, some other situation, it's just ego taking us out of here. That's all.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice standing under a tree in Victoria.
Good morning. Is the sun shining in Victoria?
It is. Oh, it's shining. I'm so happy it's this time of year. It really, it's helpful to have the brightness and all the activity of growing things. I wanted to say how I celebrate it yesterday, because I really took the whole day to treasure myself. So my husband's health has stabilized to some extent, and they're tweaking him enough that they think that he might come home. And we'll be coming home with a lot of equipment, and a lot of supplies have already arrived to do dialysis at home. Plus there's other things, and there'll be a lot of care. So I realized yesterday morning, despite the fact that I really love going to a particular yoga, and despite that I have, you know, some other things that I do, that this would be one of my last completely full days just to have that space to myself.
And it's ego, of course, would like you to believe that in some way that's selfish. But you don't do that. You know that it is kind, and it is loving, and it's caring.
Absolutely. And of course, it did want to say, well, you never miss Kundalini yoga or something like that, you know. And I thought, this is an exceptional celebration. I could do what I need to do.
And we're not going to talk about what we're missing. We're just going to focus on what we're having.
Yeah, yeah. Like a really long soak in Epsom salts and, you know, and a big long and a big long nap. And just, I realize like so much, like even just exploring my body and just slowly savoring that it's got me this far. It's just like, that was such a celebration of appreciation.
Yeah. Yeah. I project you go forward much more able to be present to whatever the future brings, because you're taking care of yourself. You're not abandoning the human being to become a human sacrifice, but you're really focusing on helping her have everything she needs to be completely present to another person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And I could see that there's been moments in the past few weeks where it felt, you know, like pure exhaustion. And I suppose in some ways what I'm really, really learning is exactly saying what's going on for me, and that's the important thing. And then asking for a lot of help from people that I may not know very well, or maybe do know, and not being attached to any outcomes, whether it's going to be a yes or no. I just realized my process is to ask.
Well, your first process is to be present.
Right.
So
right.
When you're present, then what is helpful, what is needed, bubbles up. You get to see it, and you get to respond to it. And to the degree that we can avoid that duality of, well, all that, then it occurs to you to ask, and so you ask. And as you say, not getting into another conversation about what it means if they say yes or if they say no, you just ask, and then the next thing happens, right? And you're there for it.
Right. And yes, exactly. And somebody said, well, my daughter was saying, well, Mom, I haven't heard you ask for certain things, you know. And I realized, well, there's a distance where, you know, she lives and works to come to the house to do something which needs to be done right now. So it makes way more sense to ask people who are close, like, okay, I need somebody to pick me up from the place where I'm finally getting my snow tires off, because that's what's important right now. To, you know, even say there, like, it doesn't mean anything if I don't ask for some things.
Right. Well, let's just nothing means anything.
Nothing means anything. Exactly.
Right. We can just stick with that. Then we can avoid that duality of, well, but, you know, that means, well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. We don't have to have that conversation either. Just like, yeah.
Yes, right. Well, that's it. So I guess
right back to dropping the story. Exactly. That positions us right here in this moment where we're actually alive. And what is so in this moment arises with us. And here we are.
Yeah. All of us together. And I so appreciate you, Ashwini, and the whole Sangha, and having this year-long retreat.
Me too. It's just the best, isn't it?
It's the best. Yeah.
All right.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Janice. Gotcha.
Thanks, Janice. Sherry, it's just so moving to be able to, A, celebrate, and then, B, to treat ourselves with that kindness, unconditional love and compassion.
And to recognize that despite what's arriving, we actually don't know what that might be, but not to compromise that kindness or love or compassion for ourselves as the first place from which we can offer it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a more subtle place than we can actually explore in depth this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that what we do is what we have. And mm-hmm. As long as we keep doing the same things, we'll keep having the same thing. And for most of us, breaking free is stepping out of those conditioned have to, should, can't, better not places,
mm-hmm.
and just choosing kindness for the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just huge. And it's kind of everything.
Yeah. And so our assignment for today, I think, as Janice pointed out, is do your daily practice. It's time to celebrate. How are you going to do that? Alone, with a partner, with a friend, with a crowd, with a party? Have that celebration.
Have that celebration. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do that.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Mañana. Go happy.
Go happy.